The thunderous concussion of the god's death had driven Torrent's horse down to the ground, throwing the young warrior from the saddle. As he lay stunned, he heard the thumping of the animal's hoofs as it scrambled back upright and then fled northward, away from the maelstrom. And then the rain slammed down, and out over the rising ice beyond the headland he could hear shattering detonations as the ice fields buckled. Whirling storms of snow and sleet lifted from the cliffside, spun crimson twisters, and the ground beneath him shifted, slumped seaward. All madness! The world is not like this! Torrent struggled to his feet, looked across to where the children huddled together in terror. He staggered towards them. Listen to me! Run inland, do you hear me? Inland and away from here! Frozen blood slashed down from the sky. Behind him, the wind brought close the sound of laughter from Olar Ethil. Glancing back, he saw that she was facing the spire. Absey suddenly wailed. Story cried,
Don't leave us, Torrent! You promised!
I will catch you up!
Torrent!
Just run! Taking up Absey in her thin arms, Stavi plucked at her sister's filthy tunic. And then they were on their way, vanishing in moments as the red sleet intensified, flinging curtains down that rolled deeper inland, one after another. Turning to the east, Torrent stared in astonishment. The entire edge of the headland now sloped steeply towards the bay, but ice was rising beyond that edge, now level with the top of the cliff. Off to his right, the spire was engulfed in the downpour. Hearing the witch's laughter again, he looked across to where Olar Ethil stood. But the ancient hag was no more. A young woman stood in the deluge.
Reborn! She shrieked. My kin, all reborn! I shall lead them! We shall rise again!
She spun to face Torrent, blood like paint on her bold features, and then her head darted like a bird's.
Where are they? Where are the children? My gifts to him. And I will give him more, more children. We shall rule together, the Bonecaster and the First Sword. Where are they?
Torrent stared at her, and then, slipping treacherously on the icy ground, he collected up his bow and quiver. They slid, he said. They panicked, went down the slope, down onto the ice. I couldn't reach them.
You fool!
When she ran towards the ice field, Torrent followed. The frozen blood lacerated his face as the wind howled up from the bay. One forearm held up to shield his eyes, he stumbled after Olar Ethil.
You will give him more? Is that what all this was about? You love him? You took his life and made him a thing of skin and bones. You stole his children away, maybe even killed his wife, their mother. You did all this, thinking you could win his heart?
But he had seen her, enough of her, anyway. Reborn, made young, she was not displeasing to the eye. Solid, full-breasted and wide-hipped, her hair, before the blood soaked it, so blonde it was almost white, her eyes the color of a winter sky. No longer undead. So too then, Onos Tulan? Now reborn? She took everything away from him, and would now replace it with herself, with the world she would make. Toc Anister, did you know this? Did you understand her reasons for all that she has done? Does it matter? He reached the ice. She was still ahead, fleet as a hare as she danced her way down the broken, jagged slope. He thought he could hear her crying out for the children. Fissures were opening up as the field's own weight began to crush the ice, and the descent was growing ever steeper. Off to his right, he could see one part of it still climbing, as if it would reach to the very summit of the spire itself. Was there a speck there, halfway up that ramp of ice? Someone ascending? He could not be sure. His feet went out from under him, and he slid, rebounding from spars of rock-hard ice. In a blur, he was past Olar Ethil, hearing her shout of surprise. His head struck something, spinning him round, and then his feet jammed against a hard edge that suddenly gave way. He was thrown forward, the upper half of his body pitching hard as what felt like jaws closed on the lower half, snapping shut on his hips and legs. He heard and felt both thigh bones snap. Torrance screamed, trapped in a fissure, the edges now rising above his hips as he sank deeper. He could feel blood streaming down, could feel it freezing. He had lost grip on his bow and the hide quiver. They lay just beyond his reach. Olar Ithil was suddenly there, standing almost above him.
"I heard bones break. Is it true? Is it true, pup?"
She reached down and took a handful of hair, twisting his torn face around.
"Is it? Are you useless to me now?"
"No, listen. I thought I heard them. The children. Apsi, I thought I heard him crying."
"Where? Point. You can still do that. Where?"
"Pull me out, witch, and I'll show you."
"Can you walk?"
"Of course I can, woman. I'm simply jammed in this crack. Pull me out. We can find them. But quickly, this entire field is shattering."
She cackled.
"Omtos Felak in all its glory. Yet who dares face it? A bonecaster, that is who. I will destroy it. Even now I am destroying it. That fool thinks he will take that wretched heart. I will defy him. He deserves no less. He is Jaghut."
"Pull me free, witch."
She reached down. Her strength was immense, and he could feel frozen blood splitting, could feel massive sections of skin and flesh torn away as she lifted and dragged him out from the fissure.
"Liar! You lied!"
Torrent lay on his back. The red sleet was diminishing now. He could see the jade strangers and the sun itself. From below his hips, he could feel nothing. "Frozen, bloodless. I haven't got long."
"Where are they?"
He forced himself onto one elbow, pointed off to the right and slightly downslope.
"There, behind that rise. Stand atop it, witch, and you may see them."
"That is all I need from you. Now you can die, pup. Did I not say you would?"
"You did, Olar Ithil."
Laughing, she set off for the rise of hard-packed snow and ice, 25, maybe 30 paces away. Torrent twisted round, dragged himself closer to his bow.
"I promised," he whispered.
Half-numb fingers closed about the bow's shaft. He scrabbled one-handed for the quiver, drew out a stone-tipped arrow. Rolling onto his back, he lay gasping for a moment. It was getting hard, hard to do anything. Ice squealed and then cracked, and he slid half a pace, back towards that fissure, but now it was wider. Now it could take all of him. Torrent forced the Nock's slitted mouth round the gut string. She was almost there, tackling the ragged side of the rise. He used his elbows and shoulders to push himself up against a heap of rubbled ice, brought the bow round and drew the arrow back.
"This is impossible. I'm lying all wrong. She's too far away."
Wretched panic gripped him. He struggled to calm his breath, deafened by the pounding of his own heart. Olar Ithil scrambled onto the rise, straightened and stared downslope. He saw her fists clench, half heard her howl of fury. Squinting, his muscles starting to tremble, he stared at her shoulders, waiting, waiting, and when he saw them pivot, he released.
"I will make him pay for the lies!"
Olar Ithil, eldest among all the bonecasters and now reborn, spun round towards Torrent. The arrow caught her in the left eye. The stone tip tore through the eyeball, punched through the back of the socket, where the bone was thin as skin, and the spinning, chipped stone point drilled a gory tunnel through her brain, before shattering against the inside of the back of her skull. He saw her head snap back, saw the shaft protruding from her face, and by the way her body fell, collapsing like a sack of bones, he knew that she was dead, killed instantly. Gasping, he sagged back.
"Did you see that, Tok? Did you see that shot? Oh, gods, it's done, brother. It's done. I am Torrent, last warrior of the All. When he slid towards the fissure, he was helpless to resist. Torrent, last warrior of the... Stormy bellowed in agony as Gessler dragged him away. The red-haired Falari had been stabbed through his right thigh, but the blood was slow, gushing only when the muscles moved, telling Gessler that the fool wouldn't bleed out before he got him away. The Vagath were all drawing back and back.
Because she's coming. Because she's finally joining this fight. Gods help us all.
Pulling Stormy onto the blood-soaked embankment of the third trench, he looked back upslope. She was walking alone towards the massed Colansi, little more than a child, stick-thin, looking undernourished, pathetic. When Gessler saw her raise her hands, he flinched. With a terrible roar, a wall of fire engulfed the highest trench. Scalding winds erupted in savage gusts, rolling back down the slope. Gessler saw the corpses nearest the girl, crisp black, limbs suddenly pulling, curling inward in the heat's bitter womb. And then Sin began walking, and as she did so, she marched the wall of fire ahead of her. Calith stumbled to her knees beside Gessler.
You must call her back. She can't just burn them all alive.
Gessler sagged back.
It's too late, Calith. There's no stopping her now.
Calith screamed, a raw breaking sound, her hands up at her face, but even she could not tear her eyes from the scene. The fire devoured the army crouched against the base of the spire. Bodies simply exploded, blood boiling. Thousands of soldiers burst into flames, their flesh melting. Everything within the fire blackened, began crumbling away, and still the firestorm raged. Gunth Mac was crouched down over Stormy, oil streaming from her clawed hands and sealing the wound on his leg, but he was already pushing those hands away.
Gessler, we got to reach those stairs.
I know, he said. Through fire. Well, of course it has to be us.
She won't stop,
Stormy said, pushing himself to his feet, swaying like a drunk.
She'll take it for herself, all that power.
I know, Stormy, I know, damn you!
Gessler forced himself to his feet. He squinted inland.
Gods below, what is that?
A ghost army, Calith said. The matron says they simply came down from the sky.
Send the Vagath that way, all of them, Calith. Do you understand? You need to get them as far away from this as possible. If Sin reaches the heart, that fire's likely to consume the whole fucking land for leagues around.
She pulled at him.
Then you can do nothing. Don't you see? You can't.
Gessler took her face in his hands and kissed her hard on the lips.
Teach these lizards, Calith. Only the best in us humans. Only the best.
He turned to Stormy.
All right, let's go. Forget any weapons. They'll get too hot in our hands. We can tear off this armor on the way.
Stop ordering me around.
Side by side, the two old marines set out. They climbed across greasy bodies, over ground that steamed, and through air hot as the breath of a smithy's forge.
Can't believe you, Gess,
gasped Stormy.
You called on Fenner.
I wasn't the only one, Stormy. I heard you.
Not me. Must have been someone else. You called him, and someone fucking killed him. Gessler, you went and killed our god.
Go to Hood, Gessler growled. Who crossed his finger bones when he swore off that cult? Wasn't that you? I think it was.
You told me you did the same.
Right, so let's just forget it. We both killed Fenner, all right?
Five more strides, and there could be no more words. Every breath scalded, and the leathers they now wore as their only clothing had begun to blacken.
Now it's going to get bad. But this is Tellus. I can feel it. We've been through this before.
He looked for Sin, but could not see her anywhere.
Walked out of the flames at Yagatan. Walked into them here. It's her world in there. It always was. But we knew that, didn't we? I swear I can hear her laughing.
The two men pushed forward. Kallis cried out when Gessler and Stormy vanished into the flames. She did not understand. She had looked on in disbelief as they had stepped over bodies reduced to black ash. She had seen their tunics catch fire.
Matron, what gift is this? What power do they possess?
Destriant, this surpasses me. But it is now clear to me, as it is to all of us, that you chose most wisely. If we could, we would follow these two humans into the firestorm itself. If we could, we would follow them to the edge of the very abyss. You ask what manner of men are these? Destriant, I was about to ask this very same question of you.
She shook her head, shrugged helplessly.
I don't know. Malazans.
The flames drove him back, and this was a source of fury and anguish. He tried again and again, but his beloved master was beyond his reach. Howling, he raced back and forth along the third berm, the foul stench of his own burnt hair acrid in his nostrils. And then he saw the pup, the one of tangled hair and piercing voice, the pup that never grew up, running towards the cold, towards the frozen sea. Had the pup found a way round this burning air? The Wiccan cattle dog with the scarred face tore off in pursuit. There would be a way round. He would find his master again, to fight at his side. There was, for Bent, no other reason to exist. The base around the spire had been reduced to scorched bedrock. Not a scrap of armor remained, nothing but molten streaks of iron tracking the slopes of the blackened stone. Yet Gessler and Stormy walked through the conflagration. Their leathers had melted onto their bodies, hard and brittle as eggshells, and as the two marines pushed closer to the stairs, the clothing's remnants cracked, made crazed patterns like a snake's shedding skin. Gessler could see the stairs, but she wasn't there. His gaze tracked upward.
Shit!
She was already a quarter of the way up. He punched at Stormy's shoulder and pointed. They reached the base, set foot on the baked, crumbling stone. Stormy edged into Gessler's path and began gesturing, the hand language of the Marines. Leave her to me, I'll slow her up, hold her back, whatever. You go past, you go fast as you can, get to the top. Listen, this was almost too much, even for us. She'll cook you down to bones. Never mind that, I'll hold her back. Just don't fuck up there, Guess. Throw the hag off the edge, get that damned heart. Gessler's legs ached with every step. He was too tired for this. A whole day of fighting. The strain of command. The seemingly endless slaughter. By the time he reached the top, assuming they even got past Sin, he'd have nothing left. Weaponless, face to face with a damned Fokrul Asael. Sin had not looked back down, not once. She had no idea she was being pursued. Her steps were measured, relentless but slow, almost casual. They had all climbed above the flames, which had at last begun dying below them. The girl would hold it back now, saving it for the Fokrul Asael. Tell us to wage war against the Asael's warren.
Old, old shit, all of this. Can't they all just go away? Back into their forgotten graves? It's not right, us having to fight in wars we didn't even start. Wars that have been going on for so long they don't mean a thing anymore. You took a foreign god's wounded heart. I see the blood on your lips. It's not right. It just isn't. Adjunct, I know you ain't dead. Well, no, I don't. But I refuse to believe you failed. I don't think there's a thing in this world that can stop you. We'll do our part. You'll know that much. You'll know it. Make this right. Make it all right.
Stormy was one step up from Gessler. He saw his friend reaching out, saw his hand close about Sin's ankle. And then, visibly snarling, Stormy tore her from the stairs, swung her out into the air behind him, and let go. Gessler saw her plummet, saw her mouth open wide in shock, and then that visage darkened.
Now you got her mad, Stormy.
But he was reaching now for Gessler, grasping his arm and lifting him past.
Go, Gessler! Climb your sorry arse off!
A push that almost sent Gessler sprawling against the steps, but he recovered and pulled himself upward, leaving Stormy in his wake.
Don't look down. Don't look at him, Gessler. You know why. Don't!
Instead, he paused, twisted round, met his friend's eyes, their gazes locked. And then Stormy nodded and flashed a half-mad smile. Gessler made a rude gesture, and then, before his heart could shatter, he turned back to the stone steps and resumed his ascent. Hood pulled himself over a splintered ridge of ice and looked up once more. Not far now. The ice road was groaning, cracks spreading like lightning. He had felt the assault of Olar Athil, her hatred of Omtos Felak unleashing power that raked through him sharp as talons. And then it had vanished, and he knew that she was dead. But the damage had been done. There was the very real chance that he would not make it, that this spar of ice would shatter beneath him, sending him down to his death. Death. Now that was an interesting notion. One that, perhaps, he should have been more familiar with than any other being, but the truth was, he knew nothing about it at all. The Jaghut went to war against death. So many met that notion with disbelief or confusion. They could not understand. Who is the enemy?
The enemy is surrender.
Where is the battlefield?
In the heart of despair.
How is victory won?
It lies within reach. All you need do is choose to recognize it. Failing that, you can always cheat, which is what I did. How did I defeat death? By taking its throne.
And now the blood of a dying god had gifted him with mortal flesh, with a return to mortality. Unexpected, possibly unwelcome, potentially
fatal. But then, who has a choice in these matters? Ah, yes, I did.
A rumble of laughter from deep in his chest followed the thought. He resumed his climb. Ahead was a broad fissure cutting diagonally across his path. He would have to jump it. Dangerous and undignified, his moment of humor fell away. He could sense the nearby unleashing of Telas, could see how the air around the spire was gray with smoke, and the stench of burnt flesh swept over him on an errant gust of wind from inland.
This is not by the hand of an Imas. This is something new, foul with madness. This could defeat us all.
He reached the fissure, threw himself over its span. His chest struck the edge, the impact almost winding him, and he clawed handholds in the rotted ice beyond. And then waited for a moment, recovering, before dragging himself from the crevasse. As he cleared it, a solid shape flashed past on his left, landed with a crunch, claws digging into the crusted snow.
A dog. A dog?
He stared at it as it scrabbled yet higher, running like a fiend from the abyss. From behind him, on the other side of the fissure, Hood heard furious barking, and looking back he saw another dog, or rather some shrunken, hair-snarled mockery of a dog, rushing up to the edge only to pull back.
Don't even try.
And then, with a launching leap, the horrid creature was sailing through the air. Not far enough. Hood cursed as jaws clamped on his left foot, the teeth punching through the rotted leathers of his boot. Hissing in pain, he swung his leg round, kicked to shake off the snarling creature. He caught a blurred glimpse of its horrid face, like a rat that had been slammed headfirst into a wall, as it shot past him on the trail of the bigger animal. He glared after it for a moment, and then the Jaghut picked himself up and resumed climbing, with a limp. She had been hurt by the fall, Stormy saw, watching as she laboriously made her way back up the stairs. Her left arm was clearly broken, the shoulder dislocated, skin scraped off where she had struck the unyielding bedrock. Had they been a dozen steps higher, she would be dead now. The Marine swore under his breath, twisted round to glare up at Gessler. He'd reached some kind of rest platform, maybe 25 steps below the summit.
What's he doing? Taking a damned breather? There's no time for that, you idiot! Go!
I will kill you!
At the shriek, Stormy looked back down, 10 steps between him and Sin. Her face was lifted towards him, made demonic by hatred and rage. A billowing gust of scorching heat rushed up to buffet him. He backed up the steps, 2, 3, 5. She climbed closer. The air ignited around Sin, red and orange flames white hot where her body had been. Yet from that raging incandescent core, he could still see her eyes, fixed on him.
Gods below, she is not even human. Was she ever human? What manner of creature is this?
The fire roared words.
I will kill you. No one touches me. I will burn you. I will burn all who touch me. I will burn you all. You will know what it is to hurt. You said you wanted the fire inside me. You said you would kiss it. But you lied. You hurt me. You hurt me. You wanted the fire in me. You shall have it.
The flames exploded out from her, stormed up the steps and engulfed Stormy. He howled. This was not Telas. This burned. This reached for him, took hold of him, bursting and cracking open his skin, tearing into his flesh, burrowing to clutch at his very bones. His screams vanished, though his mouth remained open, his head thrown back in the stunning agony of the fire. His lungs were burned, useless, his eyes erupted and boiled away. He felt her drawing closer, knew she was directly below him now. He could feel the stone steps against his back, could feel his body melting, pouring down as if molten. Her hand closed on one ankle, crushed it to dust. But he had been waiting for that touch. He had been holding on, to what he knew not, and with a silent sob that seemed to tear his soul in half, Stormy threw himself forward, closed what remained of his arms about her. A shriek filled his skull, and then they were falling. Not like the first time. He'd drawn her almost half the way to the top, and he could feel her body inside that fire, or thought he could. They plummeted.
Guess, take this. All I could...
He was dead before they struck, but enough of Stormy's corpse remained to hammer Sin against the bedrock, though it was not needed. The impact split her skull, sent burning meat, blood and flesh spraying out to sizzle on the superheated rock. Her spine broke in 4 places, her ribs buckled and folded under her back, splintered ends driving up through her lungs and heart. The raging fires then closed on her, consuming every last shred, before dying in flickering puddles on the bedrock. Gessler could not keep the tears from his eyes as he climbed the last few steps. He would not look down, would not surrender to that, knowing it would break him. The fury of heat that had lifted up around him moments earlier was now gone.
He's done it. Somehow. He's killed her. But he didn't make it. I feel it. A hole carved out of my soul. Beloved brother, you are gone. I should have ordered you to stay behind. Not that you ever listened to orders. That was always your problem, Stormy. That was... Oh, gods, take me!
He pulled himself onto the summit, rolled onto his back, staring up at the chaotic sky. Smoke, the jade strangers, a day dying to darkness. And then, gasping, numbed, Gessler pushed himself onto his feet. Straightening, he looked across the flat expanse. A female Forkrell Asael stood facing him, young, almost incandescent with power. Behind her was a mass of bone chains heaped over something that pulsed with carmine light, the heart of the crippled god.
"Where is your sword?"
the Forkrell Asael demanded.
Or do you think you can best me with just your hands?
My hands. I broke a man's nose once, Gessler said, advancing on her. She sneered.
It is too late, human. Your god's death assured that. It was your god, wasn't it? By your own prayers you summoned it to its execution. By your own prayers you lost your war, human. How does that feel? Should you not kneel before me?
Her words had slowed him, then halted him still 3 paces from her. He could feel the last remnants of his strength draining away.
There is no magic in her voice. None we would call so, anyway. No, the only power in her voice resides in the truth she speaks. I killed Fenrir.
When this day began, continued the Forkrell Asael, I was an old woman, frail and bent. You could have pushed me over with a nudge then. Look at you, after all, a soldier, a veteran of many battles, many wars. I know this not by the scars you bear, but by the endless losses in your eyes.
Losses? Yes, so many losses.
The woman gestured behind her.
There can be an end to the pain, soldier, if you so desire. I can grant you that, Sip.
I need a way out, said Gessler.
She nodded.
I understand, soldier. Shall I give it to you, that way out?
Yes.
She cocked her head, her forehead seeming to flinch inward momentarily, as if about to vertically fold in half.
I sense no duplicity in you. That is good. I am indeed become your salvation.
Yes, he replied. Lead me from here, Pure.
She raised one bony, long-fingered hand, reaching for his brow. His fist was a blur. It smashed into her face. Bones snapped. The Forkrell Asael reeled back, breath spraying from a crushed nose, and that fold dividing her face was deeply creased. Shaking her head, she straightened. Gessler knew he was fast, but she was faster. She blocked his second punch and countered. The blow broke his left shoulder, threw him 6 paces back. He landed hard, skidded, and then rolled onto his broken shoulder. The agony that ripped through him took with it all of his strength, his will. Stunned, helpless, he heard her advance. A strange skittering sound, and then the sound of 2 bodies colliding. He heard her stumble, heard bestial snarling. Gessler forced himself onto his side, looked across. Bent had struck the Forkrell Asael from one side, with enough force to drive her to one knee. The cattle dog's jaws had closed on the side of her face, its canines tearing through flesh and bone. One eye was already gone, a cheekbone pulled away, spat out and lying on the blood-stained stone. He saw her reach round even as she staggered upright, and one hand closed on Bent's throat. She dragged the beast from the ruin of her face. The cattle dog, held out at the end of that long, muscled arm, struggled desperately in her choking grip.
No!
Somehow Gessler found his feet, and then he was rushing her. Her lone eye locked with his glare, and she smiled. He saw her flexing her free arm, drawing it back to await him. He could block that blow, he could try to take her down, but Bent was dying. She was crushing his throat.
No!
In a flash, he saw a battlefield filled with corpses, saw Truth dragging a limp dog free of the bodies. He heard the lad's shout of surprise, and then that look in his eyes, so hopeful, so young.
No!
Ignoring her fist, even as it shot out for his head, Gessler sent his own blow, not into her face, but into the shoulder of the arm holding the dog. The hardest punch he ever threw. Crushing impacts, and then? The soldier's punch spun Reverence round, the stunning power behind it shattering her shoulder, even as her own blow connected with his forehead, splitting it, snapping his head back and breaking the vertebrae of his neck. He was dead before he struck the ground. But her right arm was useless, and she sagged to one knee as the dog pulled itself free of her numbed hand.
No matter. I will kill it next. A moment to push past this pain, to clear my thoughts.
Bent kicked free, stumbled away. Air filled his lungs. Life flooded back into him. In his mind, a red mist, yearning need, and nothing else. Head lifting, the beast turned back to his master's enemy. But his master was lying so still, so emptied of all life. The Wiccan cattle dog was not bred for its voice. It rarely barked and never howled. Yet the cry that now came from Bent could have awakened the wolf gods themselves. And the white-skinned woman straightened then and laughed, slowly turning to face the beast. Bent gathered his legs beneath him. The scarred nightmare of his muzzle peeled back, revealing misshapen, jagged fangs. And then someone stepped past him. Hood advanced on the Forkerel Asael even as she was turning towards the dog. When she saw him, she cried out, took a step back. He closed. Her left fist snapped out, but he caught it one-handed, crushed both wrist bones. She screamed. The Jaghut then reversed his grip on that wrist and added his other hand. With a savage lunge, he whirled her off her feet, slammed her body down on the stone. Yelping, the dog backed away. But Hood was not yet done with her. He swung her up again, spun, and once more hammered her onto the stone.
"I have had!" The Jaghut roared, and into the air she went again, and down once more. "Enough!"
With a sob, the crushed, broken body was yanked from the ground again.
"Of your justice!"
As the stranger dropped the limp arm he still held, Bent crawled over to his master's side. He lay down, settling his heavy head across the man's chest. The stranger looked at him, but said nothing. Bent showed his teeth to make his claim clear. "He is mine." The heavy thud of wings made Hood turn round, to see a Shigal assassin descend to the great altar. Half crouched, yet still towering over the Jaghut, it regarded him with cold eyes. Hood glanced over at the heart of the crippled god. The Pure's ancestral chains were gone, destroyed with her own death. The heart was finally free, lying pulsing feebly in a pool of blood. The smaller dog arrived, rushing over to worry at the torn face of the Forkerel Asael. Grunting, Hood gestured towards the heart, and then turned away to stare out over the lands to the west. Beyond the fields heaped with corpses, beyond the armies now gathered, virtually motionless with exhaustion, and now figures were climbing the stairs. He heard the winged assassin lifting into the air, and he knew that the creature now clutched that pathetic heart. The Shigal's shadow slipped over the Jaghut, and then he could see it rising yet higher, winging towards the setting sun. Then his gaze fell once more, looking down on the devastation below.
"I once sat upon the throne of death. I once greeted all who must in the end surrender, with skeletal hands, with a face of skin and bone hidden in darkness. How many battlefields have I walked? Must I walk one more? But this time they are the ones who have left. Guardians of the gate, will you tell all these who come to you now that it all meant nothing? Or have you something to give them, something more than I ever could?"
Others had arrived. He heard the wailing of a woman in grief, and was reminded that there was, in truth, no sadder sound in all the worlds. Bitterspring, Lera Epar of the Imas, lay propped up against cold bodies. Her wound had been bandaged, the flow of blood staunched. Around her the survivors were moving about, many simply wandering, while others stood motionless, heads lowered, scanning the ground for familiar faces. She saw her kin. She saw Thel Akai. She saw Kachain Chemal and Jaghut. And she watched Onos Tulan leaving them all, stumbling northward, onto the stretch of flat land edging the walled port city that had once been the capital of the Forkral Asael Empire. None of the Imas called after him, none asked where he was going. He was the first sword, but so too was he a man. She tilted her head back, studied the procession up the scalded stone stairs of the spire. Prince Bryce Bedict, Aranict, Queen Abrastel, Spax of the Gilk Bargast, the priest-woman of the Kachain Chemal, the 11 remaining Jaghut were also making their way in that direction.
It is done, then. It must be done. There is peace now. It must be peace. What other name for this terrible silence?
More rain began to fall as the day's light slowly died, but this rain was pure and clear. She closed her eyes and let it rinse clean her face. Onos Tulan walked past the city, out onto a barren headland of gorse and heather. The day's light was fast fading, but he was indifferent to that, and the ground underfoot, which had been soaked in blood, was now slick with simple rain. The sun spread gold across the western horizon. And then, in the distance, he saw three figures, and Onos Tulan's eyes narrowed. Like him, they seemed to be wandering, like him, lost in the world. He drew closer. The sword in his right hand, thick with gore, but now showing its gleaming stone as the rain washed down its length, then fell to the ground, and he was running. His heart seemed to swell in his chest, seemed to grow too large for the bone cage holding it. When they saw him, he heard childish cries, and now they were rushing towards him, the girl not carrying the boy, winging ahead. All three were crying as they ran to meet him. He fell to his knees to take them into his arms. Words were tumbling from the twins, a savior, an all-warrior they had lost in the storm, a witch who had stolen them, their escape, and he had promised them he would find them. But he never did, and... Lifting his gaze, still facing into the north, Onos Tulan then saw something else. A vague shape that appeared to be sitting on the ground, curled over. He rose, the girls reaching up to take his arms, the boy clinging to one shin. And then he moved forward, taking them all with him. When the boy complained, Story picked him up in her arms. But Onos Tulan walked on, his steps coming faster and faster. It was not possible. It was... And then, once more, he was running. She must have heard his approach, for she looked up and then over and sat watching him rushing towards her. He almost fell against her, his arms wrapping tight round her, lifting her with his embrace. Petan gasped.
Husband, I have missed you. I don't know where I am. I don't know what has happened.
Nothing has happened, he whispered, as the children screamed behind them.
Onos, my toes.
What?
I have someone else's toes, husband. I swear it.
The children collided with them. In the distance ahead, on a faint rise of land, Onos Tulan saw a figure seated on a horse. The darkness was taking the vision, dissolving it before his eyes. And then he saw it raise one hand. Straightening, Onos Tulan did the same.
I see you, my brother. I see you.
When at last the light left the rise of land, the vision faded from his eyes.